Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, the Apple Watch is going to solve the UFO mystery, Kevin Randall. Can you dig it?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
But you need $349 and up to buy one, and they've got one for $17,000.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I look at my house. I've got like five computers. You have to keep updating your computer to stay alert.
I know that feeling.
Five computers. You know, I feel out of sorts here. We have two iPhones, one iPad, which is a computer. It's a personal computer. But then you can say the same thing about iPhones nowadays. They are personal computers. I have an old MacBook Pro and an iMac.
See, and I've got an iPad. I've actually got the computer that I took to Iraq with me 10 years ago, and it's still working. Way to go, Sony. And I've got an old IBM computer, you know, an old power computer, which has the computing power of virtually nothing.
Today's iPhone has about 10 times the computing power of an old IBM tower.
Or we can look at it from another way. And back in Star Trek, they had their stupid communicators, and they didn't get a lot of information for it. My smartphone is better than the Star Trek communicator. I have the entire knowledge of the human race in the palm of my hand on my smartphone.
But you think with a smartwatch, the point is to get your information in a glance.
Yeah,
and that's it. To just kind of glance at it. Supposedly, it's asleep until you raise your hand. And sometimes it doesn't work. You got to flick your hand, they tell me. And you look at it and you see your notice. And then you can dismiss it, get on with your business. Or if it requires your attention, you give it. Still, I don't think it's going to increase UFO sightings. I think our minds are elsewhere. I don't think people care as much about UFOs or the possibilities. Yet, when you look at all the stories these days, maybe there's liquid water under Mars and on some of the moons of Saturn and Jupiter and maybe even on Mercury. And in 10 or 20 years, we'll have proof of extraterrestrial life. Is that paving the way for a revelation that it's here now?
Or more importantly, we just got the first color photographs of Pluto today from the... They just announced that it's not a really good photograph and it's blurry, but my God, it's the first color photographs of Pluto. I think if you find life, regardless of whether it is now extinct or it is microscopic on Mars, you've proven that there would be extraterrestrial life, and we've made it easier to accept the idea of alien visitation. If you go back to the 60s when they were talking about Project Ozma and factoring in life throughout the universe looking for the signals of other radio civilizations. And at that time, we didn't know whether or not the solar system was unique, are solar systems rare, or do all stars have systems? And today we know of what, thousands of extrasolar planets. So we've taken a step closer to that by demonstrating that our system is not unique or our system is not rare, but it seems the majority of the stars have some kind of planetary system around them. So you've increased the likelihood. And as we move out and learn more things, we're increasing the likelihood. It becomes more believable, more easily accepted that there's alien visitation as we learn more about the solar system around us and the galaxy around us and the universe around us. Please notice how I move from the smallest, the solar system, to the galaxy, to the universe. I did it in a logical progression.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
It's a very good point, and I think I just read the last day or two a new estimate of how many planets are thought now to be in our galaxy alone, and it's 40 billion planets. They're estimating now, or in the Milky Way, just one galaxy out of billions of galaxies. So
we don't even know how many planets are in our own solar system.
Yeah.
Explain that more to our listeners, because that gets to be kind of murky. Because we have dwarf planets, are they?
When I was growing up, we had 9 planets.
Yeah, but that was like 1830.
No, in 1830 we had like 8 planets.
Okay, I'm kidding.
And then they discovered more, and at one point I think we had 12, but then they discovered some of the asteroids were just really not planets. And then we finally settled after Tom Baugh discovered Pluto, we settled on 9. Then what's-his-face Tyson decided Pluto didn't deserve to be a planet. So we created dwarf planets, and we were back to 8. But now there's talk about, if you go to what the Kuiper Belt, trans-Neptune objects, you go to that, they're talking about there being 1 or 2 or 3 planets out there that may be as large as Mars or Earth or even larger. So there may be planets we haven't discovered circling the sun out in the Kuiper Belt that are so far away that they might as well be in another solar system.
Yeah, it's a big universe out there. And like you pointed out, we don't even really know the full extent of what exists in our own solar system here. So I think it's going to, as science takes leaps and bounds forward, and the technology and our capabilities to utilize that technology becomes more sophisticated, it's amazing what humans, when they set their mind to it, what they can discover and determine about the reality that we're all existing within. So, you know, I think science is on the right track in many ways. But then you look at a program like SETI, which is trying to find out if there's radio stations being broadcast out there by ET. You have to scratch your head and wonder if maybe they're...
Isn't that 20th century technology, guys?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we be looking a little bit more advanced than that?
What if the civilizations are
telepathic and they never invented radio?
Well, maybe Cousin Brucey, who is still alive and still doing radio shows, is really from Tau Ceti.
Well, all I'll say about that is, can you get him off the Sirius radio? Because every time I turn it on, he's blabbing about something. I want to listen to music. Not Cousin Brucey reminiscing about the good old days.
He just seems to go on and on incoherently. This is on Sirius Channel 6. That's 60s music.
It's not only not unlike us now.
And you've got, of course, Peter Noon, Ehrman of Herman's Hermits. And he does a pretty good show. He tells really good stories and has this pleasant charisma. So it's fun to listen to. But Cousin Brucey just... goes on and on and on. Let's talk about the gradual acceptance I see here of life in outer space. Would that be another way, and it's a conspiracy theory, to ultimately admit that, yeah, we're being visited right now?
I think if you demonstrate the feasibility of life on other planets, you make the case for alien visitation that much easier. Doesn't prove that there's alien visitation. Doesn't prove that technology is going to be able to overcome the vast distances among the various stars. And when you start talking about galaxies, I mean, what the nearest galaxy is, what, 2.5 million light years away? I mean, that's a long time to be traveling.
But warp drive or stargates.
But that's only operating inside our own galaxy. It's not getting us to other galaxies.
Well, I gather with Stargate, they went between galaxies.
Well, you just gotta love sci-fi.
I'm not going to argue the point because we're all a fan of Stargate. You know, anyhow, when you look at evidence that there's life developing on other worlds in other ways, even if it's inside our own solar system, you've opened the door to life developing on planets in other solar systems, and it makes the acceptance of the idea a little easier than when we look at Earth and say life is unique to Earth, and we don't see evidences of it elsewhere. If we see evidence of elsewhere, well, it makes it easier to accept that idea.
But is that deliberate, or just that's what happens?
I think it's just that's what happens. I don't think there's anything deliberate about it. I think if you take a look at the attitudes of people today as opposed to people in the 1960s, I mean, if you look at the science fiction of the 1960s, they're just talking about, you know, the first people on moon, getting to the moon. Or if you look at what Forbidden Planet in the narration that begins that movie, they say that we reached the moon at the end of the 21st century.
You know, let's go into more of this in our next segment with Kevin Randall and Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast. Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237. Right now is the time to jumpstart your health with a new 30% discount from InfoWarsHealth.com. Secure the all-new Tangy Tangerine 2.0 with certified organic ingredients that are non-GMO and better tasting than ever. For an exclusive 30% off discount when you sign up at InfoWarsHealth.com. That's 30% off retail when you become a distributor at InfoWarsHealth.com. You've heard me talk about Tangy Tangerine for years now, and you've heard others talk about what it's done for them. Take the challenge. Try it for the first time. Or even reorder your Tangy Tangerine and other great longevity products like Pollen Burst or the Alex Pack, all for 30% off when you visit InfoWarsHealth.com. This is a fantastic opportunity to be able to try out the hundreds of amazing products at InfoWarsHealth.com and get 30% off on products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine 2.0. Visit InfoWarsHealth.com to get started today. You can also sign up for AutoShip and get free shipping. 30% off and free shipping is all available exclusively at InfoWarsHealth.com today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
IS Forbidden Planet, when Leslie Nielsen was a serious actor. And that was interesting. I remember that. And this was really 1956. In the 60s, we already have the promise of landing a man or a human being on the moon before 1970.
if you look at Forbidden Planet, they mentioned the end of the 21st century. But 13 years later, from the release of the movie, we've got people on the moon, and we put, if we really wanted to dedicate the resources to it, we could have put people on Mars 20 years ago. But the point simply is that as our science evolves and our science fiction evolves in the same direction, it makes the exception of some of these ideas simpler. So I think the people who grew up in the last 20 years are more accepting of the idea of alien life forms than the people in the 50s or the 40s were, because of how our knowledge is expanded.
Does the presence of UFOs give us the vision for a future where humans are space-faring people?
If we're getting visited by aliens, yeah, certainly.
Whatever the cause, but the mere presence gives you that feeling.
Once you know something is possible, it's much easier for you to do it than if you think it's impossible, because if you think it's impossible, you don't even try. But if you think it's possible, you find out a way to do it. I think that if we're, there's alien visitation, well, obviously interstellar travel is possible. Now all we have to do is figure out how to do it, as opposed to saying, well, it's impossible, we're not even going to even try to do it. And we've actually come up with ways of doing interstellar travel, but it's not beyond the speed of light. The speed of light is the limiting factor as far as we know. And so if you take off for the nearest star system, which is 4 light years away, it could take you literally hundreds of years to get there, given our current technology. But if we figure out the way to either short circuit the distances or a way of traveling faster than the speed of light, then we change the whole dynamic. But if you've got people or alien creatures coming here and you look at it, you say, well, interstellar flight is possible. How can they be doing that? And you start looking for ways to doing it rather than saying, well, it's impossible, so we're not even going to try.
Doesn't then the existence of UFOs inspire the imagination if you take it the least bit seriously?
I would think so, and I would think SETI would want to look at it. SETI is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Well, if they're coming here, you found them, guys. Now let's figure out something else. But SETI won't even look at the UFOs. They want nothing to do with UFOs. Yeah. NASA, you would think NASA would be excited about UFOs, but NASA, I think it was the Clinton administration, tried to get NASA to investigate UFOs. They didn't want to get anywhere near it. And I think part of the problem is what we have done inside the UFO community. And when I say we, I'm thinking of all the things from the contactees to all the hoaxes that have been perpetrated and all of that sort of nonsense that goes on to the legitimate look at UFOs. You look at the Condon Committee, and their job was to end the Air Force investigation. It wasn't to investigate flying saucers. It wasn't to find out what was going on. It was to end the Air Force participation in UFO investigations, which they did. And you still have scientists pointing to it today saying, the Condon Committee showed there was nothing to it. Well, no, they really didn't show that. They showed it was not a threat to national security, and the Air Force shouldn't be investigating them, and that was it. And 30% of the cases were never solved. So, you've got all of that stuff going on.
But is there any way at this point to convince traditional science to really look at this thing? Or is it just a bunch of crazy people like me, and I won't say that you are among those crazy people, Kevin Randall, who continue to look into the subject?
I interviewed James A. Van Allen about UFOs in the late 1970s, I think it was. And he was so confident of his place in the scientific community that he would talk seriously about UFOs without fear of retribution. And I think his point was that we needed to upscale the level of investigation. We needed to become more professional in our work about UFOs to be accepted by the scientific community. Now, some 15 years ago, I tried to start at least some of that with looking at peer review as a way of doing it, and I did a long paper on the Mantell case, the Air Guard pilot who was killed chasing a flying saucer in 1948. Well, actually chasing a balloon in 1948, but that's another story. But I looked at that, and I put together a long paper as a kind of a model of how I would think this would do, and then asked for comments to update, change, manipulate, criticize, whatever, got very few responses to that. But I thought that was what we needed to do, was start preparing that sort of documentation. If you go back and you look at the idea of meteors, rocks from the sky, and they say, well, in 1803, the French Academy of Sciences rejected the idea of rocks from the sky, but 2 years later they accepted it. And why did they accept it? Is because someone presented them with the scientific evidence of a rock fall from the sky, including eyewitness testimony, which, of course, in today's world, we just ignore completely. They had rocks that did not fit into the strata of the area where they were found, because there had been a geological survey, coincidentally, like 2 years before, so they knew what the geology of the area was. He had the samples and all of that, and he presented his paper to the French Academy of Sciences, and they said, well, yeah, apparently rocks do fall from the sky. And we in the UFO community have too often been writing stuff for the popular press. You want to sell books, you have to embrace the idea of alien visitation. You cannot suggest solutions to sightings, regardless of what the sighting is and how legitimate that solution might be. And so you get a biased account of what's going on. And I think what we need to do is document some of this stuff much more carefully, which is one of the points of the Ultimate Roswell book, was to document everything. Here is where this information came from. Here is the original source of this information, as opposed to, well, this is what my brother told me 2 weeks ago type thing. And we too often do not do that. There have been attempts to do that. Ted Phillips, with his catalog of landing trace cases, for example, is one of those things. Mark Rodiger put together a book about electromagnetic effects and stalling of car engines. And I went through that and I discovered a fact that nobody really had talked about, which is, they say, well, it stalled my car engine. The Condon Committee says, but there's no mechanism for the car engine to start spontaneously after it's been stopped by an electromagnetic field, for example. And I went back through the book, and almost all of the cases, they said the car started normally again, or they took some action to start the car. It wasn't that it spontaneously restarted, but the driver took some action, said the car started normally again. And almost every one of the cases, they did some action that started the car. So that Condon Committee criticism of the electromagnetic effects was not legitimate, because they, like the rest of us, seem to think that when the UFO left, the car would restart itself. The lights would come back on, the radio would come on, but to get the car started, you had to take some action. And that wasn't always reported properly in the documentation.
We have Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So the action, Kevin Randall, you'd have to take would be start the car again.
Turn the key. You had to start the car.
Okay, so yes, because the power is on, your air conditioner might go on. In those days, of course, you didn't have air conditioners in cars. Or the radio would come on. But physically starting the car, you started the car.
I went through all the cases in Mark's book and some others that I'd found in other sources. And there's something you could have done, you know, anybody could have done today. And looked at it to see exactly what was said. And an awful lot of the times, the driver started the car engine. He had to turn the key or he had to push the starter button. He had to take some action to start the car. It did not start spontaneously. Hmm. And I think that's an important point when you're looking at the UFO field because, you know, the scientific community rejected the idea of the car starting spontaneously. And that is kind of a misconception based on the way some of this stuff was written. And if you looked at it closely, you discovered that they were actually starting the car. The car, the radio came back on, the lights came back on, and the car started normally. That's one of the things we could, you know, we can look at. But I mean, Mark did a wonderful survey of that sort of thing as a subset of the UFO field. And by using that resource and a number of others, I was able to discover that one little sort of inconsequential fact.
Yeah, it's significant.
And reported it here on the Paracast.
Yeah.
You see, that's the where to go.
Dot your I's and cross your T's, folks. One is reminded of that funny scene of Richard Dreyfuss in the truck in Close Encounters when his flashlight comes back on and scares the bejesus out of him.
I was more
love
concerned
that scene.
With making the Devil's Tower out of his mashed potatoes, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to eat those mashed potatoes and see what makes you want to do that.
Well, you know, since we were talking a little bit about science fiction, now here's a question from someone who has been a poster at forum.theparacast.com since 2009 And Kevin, this is a testament to your drawing power here. He's only posted 10 times in all that time. He has an interesting question here, and this is something I didn't know. He says, Kevin has written a lot of science fiction novels. What are his first three steps in creating a new sci-fi novel? I didn't know that you wrote science fiction novels.
Yes, I do.
I didn't know that.
You haven't listened to Stan Friedman complaining, Randall writes science fiction, therefore he cannot be believed.
Oh, boy. Well, you see, I write science fiction, too, so I'm really in the doghouse here.
I am a lifetime member of the Science Fiction Writers of America.
Well, there you go. So what are your first three steps in creating a new sci-fi novel or a plot or coming up with a unique idea that you can base a book on?
The one I really like is a book called Remember the Alamo, where we send time travelers back to win the Battle of the Alamo. This came to me in a dream. I dreamed I was sitting in a office with an editor wanting to do a book about time travelers going back to the Alamo, and the editor said, but only if there's Mexican time travelers, too. And so out of that...
But only if there's Mexican time travelers?
Two. Also, not only American time travelers, but Mexican time travelers.
What about Russian? What about British?
They weren't at the Alamo.
Yeah, they...
Okay, so it's the Alamo. Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's the Alamo. So, I mean, Mexicans and Texicans, you know. But when the book was written, there were no Mexican time travelers in it. But there is another force at work there. But I mean, that was one of them. One of the books came about because an editor asked me a question, and I said, I can do that. Time travel has always fascinated me, so I've looked at a lot of different time travel stuff. I did a book which it's an e-book. You can go buy it cheap on Amazon, called On the Second Tuesday of Next Week, where there are actually two groups fighting a big battle out near Pluto, and kind of based on the Battle of Midway, and the Earth forces win the battle, which they shouldn't have done because the bad guys were so superior. And then the guys who are out traveling in space, they come back and they discover we've now lost that battle, and they're trying to figure out what happened. We won when I left, and of course what they learn is the mechanism of traveling. Interstellar distances is also one of the ways of traveling through time, and it kind of protected them from the change that the bad guys made. And so it's trying to figure out where can we make a change that the bad guys can't reverse. And so you go through the whole book trying to figure out who's going to end up winning this thing, because they keep going back to change the outcome of this battle. And it's called On the Second Tuesday of Next Week, and it came about because that was kind of a phrase we used in college. When are you going to get this done? Well, how about the second Tuesday of next week? You know? So it kind of evolved out of that thing. One of the books we did was called Seeds of War. I did it with Bob Cornett, and we wanted to write a science fiction novel, you know, a military-oriented science fiction novel with a big military component to it. And we started using the Gulf of Tonkin speech, only we modified it to encompass the bad guys blowing up one of our space probes in space. And we create this retribution fleet to go take care of them for that audacity. But we modeled it after the Johnson speech, after the Gulf of Tonkin, and we just had to change a couple of words here and there. You know, instead of in international waters to, you know, free space and things like that. But, so it evolved out of that.
Yeah, that's a good approach.
So you know, I know when we went to science fiction conventions, people would say, well, where do you get your ideas? And we always had flip answers for it, but the ideas are just there. I had a notebook, good Lord, 40 years ago, and as I was writing magazine articles and stuff, and I wrote down three ideas I had to write in the future so I'd know what I was going to do next. I don't think I ever wrote those three articles. Something's always come up, and I've gone in different directions. But the science fiction stories, it just really, something will trigger. You'll see something on television, you'll hear something, you'll see something else. I know when we were doing the Alamo book, the movie The Final Countdown had come out, and you go to the movie, and the preview showed the modern aircraft carrier fighting the Japanese fleet attacking Pearl Harbor. and you think this is going to be really cool, and you get to the movie and it ends up that there's only a couple of dog fights with the modern fighters against the Japanese, and it's really just you're left with something that you wanted to see more. So I went back and I rewrote one of the scenes from the Alamo book to bring the modern weapons to play against the Mexican army as they were attacking the Alamo. And because that's what I wanted to see in the movie. So we put a scene in the book that was just like that to show how the modern army, modern weapons would really break up a human wave attack and that sort of thing. And then there was one scene where they're shooting at the Mexican officers, and they're like 1,000 yards away, and they're using their sniper rifles. And one of the Texans says, "You know, you can't hit anything at that range." And he said, "Well, we can, you know, because they're using a modern sniper rifle. So they've got the range to try to take out the officers at a long, long distance." So, you know, it's just the ideas are out there. They just it's amazing. I did a book, which I think people actually kind of like, called Generation Shift, which was the idea of, what if you have this enclosed society traveling from Earth to another star system, but they can't travel beyond the speed of light? So you have this sealed environment. And how do the people react to the sealed environment? And how do they get along? And you know, how do you maintain everything in the status quo? Because you're not going to get help from Earth. If you run out of food, you're pretty well screwed. You've got to recycle everything. You've got to get along with the people, other people on the ship, and that sort of thing. So it just comes, it's like that. Well, I had another dream too, that I did a book called The Asteroid, which you can get on Amazon.com as well, as a Kindle book. And it came to me in a dream, and it just sort of expanded out of there. So sometimes I dream the things up. Sometimes it's just something in the air around me that, keys an idea. Sometimes it's somebody suggests, can you do something like this? Well, you know, here's a contract, can you do something like this? And yes, I can do something like that. So it's just all kinds of ways.
We have a way to break. It's done this way. We have Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris. One more segment left. You're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just three of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, my name is DeRay. Suffering from migraines, having Botox injections in my head and neck to alleviate pain, costing $1,500 out of my pocket. I discovered Dr. Ortman and Gentle Touch Chiropractic Adjustment called NUCA. I'm migraine-free since my first adjustment. Thanks for giving me my life back, Dr. Ortman. I wish they prescribed you instead of Botox.
Thanks, DeRay. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the solution. We designed a nutritional supplement program the body can handle and actually absorb, providing nutrients targeting the problem area. Between NUCA and nutrition, we will have you on the road to a faster and more permanent recovery. Look us up on the web at drortman.com or call 952-303-9124. Let us help you feel better faster. Wellspring Spinal Care at 952-303-9124. Again, that's 952-303-9124. Or on the web at drortman.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, time travel, science fiction, Kevin Randall. We see a lot of that. We have TV shows like Continuum, a Canadian series on Sci-Fi Channel that plays around with time travel. We now have the TV series about the superhero The Flash, where he goes back through time. They've got a reverse Flash who comes from the future.
So, 12 Monkeys.
12 Monkeys. Going into its second season on Sci-Fi Channel that just wrapped up the first season. Okay. Now,
you haven't even mentioned Game of Thrones. Oh, wait, that's not science fiction. That's fantasy, sorry.
But the point being, in the real world, as much as there's a real world, there are a possibility here that UFOs are visitors from our future.
People have asked me that frequently, and I always say, I think it's unlikely. I think if you're looking at the possibilities of what we're experiencing, I think the most likely plausible explanation is alien visitation. There's interdimensional beings. There's time travelers from our future. And I actually did a science fiction story about that. And one of the guys actually left a guidebook behind. And it was found in a collection of old library books. And they're looking at this. And here's stuff that's going on in the 21st century where the time travelers would be looking at. Seeing things like that. I think it's an unlikely scenario. But it's one of those that, you know, if we're going to look at this with an open mind, we can't reject it out of hand. And if we look at some of the scientific thought going on now, they are talking about the feasibility of time travel. And we can say we're all time travelers. We're moving at the same speed into the future. It just takes us a while to get there. We do not have the capability to go back. But there are suggestions that you know, time dilation is a form of time travel. You know, as you move closer to the speed of light, time slows down for you. So you are sort of traveling through time. It's just, can you reverse the process? So, it's a possibility, but I think it's a very unlikely possibility. I think, as I said, alien visitation, I think, is the most likely possibility. Interdimensional beings is a possibility. I think some of the things we think of as UFOs are actually natural phenomena that have been misidentified. You know, so that really kind of takes them out of the case. But, that's kind of how I look at the whole thing. Time travel is a very unlikely possibility, but it is a possibility.
I've often joked at some conferences where I presented that the answer to the cattle mutilation question, we can't factor out the possibility of cattle in the future becoming illegal as a protein source. And so maybe what we're seeing is high-tech chefs coming back through time to gather illegal parts for million-dollar plate dinners in the future.
or if you want, if you read Stephen King's book, November 22nd, 1963, they have a portal back through time. The guy keeps going through, and the owner of this diner is able to serve hamburgers much cheaper because he goes back into the past and buys the meat at really inexpensive prices and brings it into the future and cooks it up and serves it. So there you go. Your cattle mutilation theory right there by Stephen King.
And maybe the fact is we all live in a gigantic dome. That's another Stephen King story, but that's only one town in Maine. What's this thing that Stephen King has here about these crazy towns in Maine? We've got the dome. We've got Haven.
You forgot, and the dead zone.
Okay, you see, that's the point.
Well, he lives in Maine, so he writes what's familiar.
Yeah, he lives in Maine.
Doesn't want to spread his horizons? Oh, well.
The Stand, part of it takes place in Colorado and Las Vegas.
Yeah, true.
There you go.
And so, some of it starts out in Maine, but because he lived in Boulder for a while. So
the exception that proves the rule. Hey, Kevin, we only have a few moments left.
Yes.
Probably not time for another question for our listeners. But regardless of what happens with the Roswell slides on May 5th, and by the way, one of our forum regulars and a friend of the show, Red Pill Junkie, his real name is Miguel, as most of you know, Red Pill Junkie says he's going to attend the Roswell slides event with a relative and promises to report back here on the show. So we'll set that aside. Where do you go from here to put together more research to advance the state of study of this field?
Well, because you said study, and that was the idea. You know, I've got a book in the back of my mind called Chasing Footnotes, and you look at a UFO case and you chase the footnotes back to the original source and see what they say. Because a lot of times I found information that either solved the case or continues to make it inexplicable, but clears up some of the incongruities of those cases. So there's things like that going on. And some of the old UFO books would carry this story about this metal vessel blown out of solid rock in Massachusetts. And it was in the 1852 Scientific American as this inexplicable thing. And so I actually went and looked at the 1852 Scientific American and discovered that the case is actually much more interesting than this metal vessel. There's other stuff going on there. So leads into other interesting things. But that's one of the things to do is try to get the nonsense out of the field, explain the stuff that can be explained, and underscore the stuff that is really, really confusing and inexplicable. And look at that and say, here is the best information about this case that we have today.
Well, we hope something about it bears fruit. Because right now, I don't know, I think Chris and I have been so down on the field lately because of all these crazy claims and crazy arguments and all these flames. And we see that, as you know, in your blog, A Different Perspective, you'll write an article and there will be pro and con opinions. And sometimes the con opinions get to be a little eccentric to the borderline. You know what I mean?
Sometimes the pro opinions get a little bit nasty, too.
Of course.
As soon as I see those, I delete them. You know, you start calling people names and things like that, I'm going to delete the post. We don't need that. If you want to discuss it rationally, if you want to say, well, this case is all poppycock and here's why I think that, hey, I'm on board with it. If you want to say the guy who reports this is an idiot and a liar, no, that gets deleted. So I know what you mean.
I guess it'd be pretty crazy. Will we come to an answer to all this in your lifetime and my lifetime, Kevin, as a couple of old codgers?
I believe I've already answered some of the questions. In fact, right here on the Paracast. We will have more information after May 5th about the slides. We will know exactly what they have and how they came to the conclusions they came to. We will know more then. And it may explain a lot of stuff to us. It may just confuse the issue even more and become more mysterious. We'll just have to wait for May the 5th to see what happens.
Unfortunately, we can't all go to Mexico City to find out, but we'll keep looking for it. Kevin Randall, please tell our listeners where they can find more of the stuff that you do.
They could look at my blog. It's kevinrandall.blogspot.com, A Different Perspective. You type in Roswell slides now, and a number of my columns for the blog will come up so that you can read those. Go to the bookstore, buy books. Amazon's got a lot of the books, the latest The last one that has come out is the government UFO files. There's some science fiction stories there. There's a nice horror novel called Vampire that you can look at. There's some inexpensive science fiction. There's some UFO stuff there. And the new book will be out in October.
He's a busy bee, folks. We're busy here over at the Paracast. We also have a couple of Facebook Paracast fan clubs, and we can't combine them because you have to kill the content from one. And we're not going to do that. So we'll still have two Paracast fan clubs. We also have a free copy of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters to give away. Here's how you get a copy. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We want you to sign up for the Paracast Plus. A yearly subscription is $50. 5 years is $175. There is a $5 monthly subscription, but you don't get the free book. Regardless, what this means here is that you get the After the Paracast podcast, which is like part two of this show, color commentary, sometimes continuing the discussions from the show. Sometimes we do something totally unexpected after the Paracast. With the Paracast, we present the ad-free version, 41 minutes of ads chopped off, better quality audio, Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com and go to Chris O'Brien's site, ourstrangeplanet.com. And you can help him with his project to set up that camera network in the Mysterious Valley. And it's already making progress, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show. And you, Kevin Randall, thank you so much for joining us again on the Paracast.
I was delighted to be here, but your coffee sucks.
Well, we'll go to Starbucks next time. I thought you'd like the Circle K brand.
I would prefer the Circle K brand to Starbucks, because Starbucks has too much money.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.